Welcome back to Better Call Sexton. I'd like to manipulate your emotional state for a little while if you're okay with it. Even if you're not okay with it, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway because it's getting done to you no matter what. You're getting rage baited, you're getting tossed all around like a ship on the sea without any kind of rudder, and you're letting it happen. But you know what? Let's get after it. Okay, Jim, we begin with the rise of the femosphere, which is the answer to the manosphere, if you will.
I felt like with context clues,
you could have figured that one out. Yeah,
I could have got there on that one.
And the reason why this is really front and center right now in the news is because of this CNN investigation about the Academy. It's an online community.
First of all, calling it an academy.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like there's like a diploma and there's like online study and there's not. Yeah. I mean, I'd say the way I found out about this story was some of my more progressive friends were posting, you know, men's silence about this is shocking. And I was like, about what? Like, I actually messaged one of my friends and I was like, what are you talking about? I don't know this story. And then they linked the story and I looked at it and I was like, wait, first of all, like, I didn't even know this existed. And then I started digging deeper in it. And I was like, this isn't a thing. Like, this is a bizarre sub-community within a bizarre sub-community within a bizarre sub-community. And they keep saying it as what, like 6.2?
62 million. So, to paint the picture, it's an online community that is deep and dark.
Where
men are basically teaching other men how to date rape or sexually assault or take... And then what happened was these men are filming some of those activities and uploading it to a very dark web porn site.
Which is horrific.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That website, which is a porn site, got 62 million views in a month.
That total site.
Correct.
Right.
But I think what's happening, unfortunately, is...
Well, now it's driving traffic to it.
But also people are now fixating upon the fact check of the 62 million.
Okay.
Which is incorrect. But what the guys who were doing, like the stuff they were doing was terrible. So now we're like,
listen,
it's being overinflated,
but
then
minimized. If there were two people doing this, it's two people too many.
Right.
Right. But to say this is a major problem, 62 million, okay, you're overstating the problem. Like gun violence, you know, police shooting unarmed people is a problem. If that happens one time, it's a problem and it's bad. But when you say to people, how many people per year, how many African-American youths per year were killed by law enforcement while unarmed? People go, I don't know, probably like 50,000, 100,000. Like, they're so overly inflated in their conception of the numbers because of this kind of reporting. Mm-hmm. Like when you report a story this way, you make the world seem like something it's not. Thank God it's not. Like, you make it seem like this is a big, and again, it's a problem. And if it's even one person's dealt with this, it's a huge problem. But to say that, like, oh, this is such a giant problem, 62 million, you can't throw those kinds of numbers out there.
Right.
Totally devoid of context and in such a wildly misleading way. That's a very dangerous thing to do because it then also creates in people this expectation of, like, and again, if your algorithm is feeding you this story 1,000 times because it's going to outrage you, all of a sudden you're like, how is no one talking about this?
Right.
It's like, well, because we don't have your algorithm. I didn't even hear about this story until someone I know reposted about it. And then I was like, what the hell is this? I don't know what's going on out there. So I again, anything like this, reprehensible. There is child porn on the internet. There is snuff films. Like, the internet is a depository of the entire variety of the human experience. Mm-hmm. And there is some awful, disgusting stuff on it because there's some awful, disgusting stuff in the world. But to say, you know, to conflate it with other things and say, oh, this is what this is and this is the numbers of this. And now to sort of, again, it's being used and weaponized against men. Oh, you see how awful men are.
Well, that's the real problem is now it almost does a disservice to what you're trying to report on. Because now the discussion is not really about the few men that are doing it.
Sure.
It's people saying, well, you're lying about the 62 million.
Right. And
it's
why are you defending this?
Yes.
And no one's defending anything. What we're just saying is, listen, the truth should be shocking. Like, this shouldn't be a problem only because, like, if I said to you, 5 million people died in the Holocaust instead of six, you wouldn't be like, oh, well, you made a bigger deal out of it than it was. Like, that's not the point. The point is, if one person was killed, it's terrible. There was no reason for that. But don't, when you're stating, when you're news, you're CNN, you were supposed to still be the news. Like, this is the problem, is the way that these things are getting reported. We now, they're reported in such a partisan slant. I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I have my own issue with CNN in the last couple of days because of the Trump signing an executive order regarding psychedelics. And this is something that the left has supported forever. I know, I'm on the left. I've supported this forever. And CNN can't even give Trump that one. They can't even say, even though they're totally left-leaning, they can't even give it to him. They had to say, well, you know, he was one of the drugs that he's descheduling is Ibogaine, and it's been linked to deaths. But they're not sure if those deaths were the result of the Ibogaine or if they were the result of underlying health conditions. It's like, guys, you just can't let this guy have anything, can you? Like, you just can't let him win on anything. Like, this is something he did that the left should be celebrating. This is something the left was fighting for years. The war on drugs was a right-wing thing. It was started by Nixon. It's as right as you got at that time. And now President Trump, who's pretty far right and pretty hardcore conservative, now he passes this thing that's incredibly positive. The left and the right should join together. The right because we're helping veterans. The left because we're finally taking away some of the stigma associated with psychedelics and not going to lose another 50 years worth of research because we put it in the same category as heroin and cocaine that has absolutely no therapeutic value whatsoever. And these are substances that every single major medical, credible medical professional says have massive potential. We can't even give it to them on this one. Why? Because we've just become so hyper-partisan. Everything's girls versus boys, left versus right, everything. You are being rage baited to death. And it is going to be to death because it's the death of Western culture. It's the death of our collective common dreams of any kind.
It's also Trump plus Joe Rogan. So they were never going to give an ounce
Joe
of credit.
Joe Rogan, who was a progressive left-leaning person up until now. Like, I think he, again, just saw the Trump derangement syndrome that overtook everybody on the left. And all of a sudden, he was like, all right, wait a minute. I don't know that I can co-sign with that. And then he's gone with Trump. And now he's sort of distanced himself a bit from Trump. But see, at least Joe Rogan can be like, yeah, I disagree with a lot of what Trump has to say. But he got this one right. Like, what, can't we just acknowledge that a broken clock's right twice a day, even if only for a second?
So that's all of everything you're describing here is what gives rise to the femosphere.
The femosphere.
And they're rooted in heteropessimism, the idea that men are unreliable, and so that women need to use their, quote, dark feminine energy and psychological tactics to negotiate and manipulate their way through relationships and financial gamesmanship. And
I mean, that's basically the manosphere.
That's the point.
Yeah. They said you just took the manosphere and made
it
pink.
Not even the manosphere, because the manosphere is like a broad term that's now been given to like everything that's, you know, androcentric at all. So I would say that's like feminism. To say the manosphere is mystery and is,
the,
you know, the
artist.
Pickup artist thing is like saying, okay, feminism is Andrea Dworkin. Like, no, that's an extreme form of feminism, and that's an extreme form of the manosphere. Andrew Tate's an extreme form of the manosphere. But okay, what this basically is the same message as like old school pickup artistry, which is, look, it's a game. And you want to win the game. And the way to win the game is to not think about the feelings of this other person, but to manipulate them. And to manipulate them for your ends, for what it is that you want from them, not what's going to be good for the net of the collective. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Out of Office Gummies by Soul. They are my superpower. They are my weekend getaway. They are my go-to. I can't say enough good things about them. Check out GetSoul.com, promo code Sexton for 30% off your first order. These are the THC and CBD gummies where you can really control your dosing. Lots of different choices, lots of different flavors, but nothing but quality. Family-owned business. I cannot endorse them happily enough. Remember, GetSoul.com, promo code Sexton, and also check out the QR code.
Part of this idea of the femosphere is trying to reconceptualize or reframe feminism, like you said. And the Mighty Pursuit put out this Instagram post kind of talking about the how Sex in the City sold a lie. And if you kind of click through this carousel here, Nick, Matt, it's...
Yeah, the idea of this, I love the Mighty Pursuit. I've done two appearances on the show, and I really enjoy their perspective. What this is basically about is that all of the mental health literature of the last 20 years essentially shows that women are significantly more likely than men to regret casual sex. And that, you know, the show, which really was a turning point in modern culture for women, really the end of the first episode, if anyone doesn't recall it, was Carrie, the main character, ends up like just having a one night stand with a guy. And she's very empowered by it. And she walks out feeling very satisfied by it. And what they're basically saying is that's not realistic. But what it created was it created this impression that women could be just like men. But Sex and the City was primarily written by, you know, even though it was based on Candace Bushnell's, you know, column and book, it was written primarily by gay men. It was a show based on a column by a woman, really shaped by the dynamics of the gay hookup scene. Like if you watch, you know, any of the characters on the show, like Samantha, who was the very, you know, Kim Cattrall's character, Samantha basically is a gay man. Like she's constantly talking about how like she's a size queen and she's super into like just one night stands. The overwhelming majority of women do not find that satisfying. The overwhelming majority, and again, this is research statistics that say to women, you know, they interview women and say, what do you find fulfilling? What do you not find fulfilling? And the overwhelming majority do not find hookup culture appealing. They do not find, and by the way, it doesn't really work for women. Like the number of women that are dissatisfied with the modern dating scene has only gone up. And why? Because women were sold this idea that, oh, we can be just as awful as men. And all that really is identifying with a perpetrator. Like you have a system that's not working for you, that's being dictated by people who are meeting their own needs. Men are saying, hey, I want to hook up. I want sex without commitment. I want sex without connection of any significance. I want no real intimacy. And you're saying, oh, yeah, well, I'll show you. I'm going to give you that. Okay, that's not going to work. It's a terrible strategy. If anything, all it's going to do is now create what Sex and the City created. And that's what this episode is about. And they have, of course, my intellectual girl crush, Louise Perry, was the guest. I think she's absolutely brilliant. She wrote a book in 2022 called The Case Against the Sexual Revolution. I think it's one of the most brilliant books that's probably ever been written. I think she's an unbelievable scholar. I also could listen to her talk all day long. She's got this amazing English accent. But she's brilliant. And she really was the one who identified this idea that we've allowed this sort of revenge response in women to completely submarine, you know, the chances of men and women finding satisfying connection in any real way, because women have over-identified with the role that made them unhappy to begin with. And that is that hookup culture was designed for men. I've said before, women are the gatekeepers of sex, and women have the opportunity to reform the dating market because men are going to adapt themselves to whatever women as gatekeepers decide is going to be the sexual marketplace. So if women decide, okay, we're just going to allow it's going to be a form of empowerment to sleep with as many men as possible, don't be unhappy when men are like, great, let's do that.
Yeah. I mean, how often will you hear a girl be like, I like sex just as much as a man? And it's like,
oh, I hear them say it all the time.
No, you don't.
You hear them say it all the time.
Because it's a poison inside of us that we can't stop.
You hear them say it all the time. And then you also hear those same women when they're away from other women saying, yeah, this whole thing's very unsatisfying.
Yeah.
I found this very unsatisfying. And again, I think that women should embrace that. And I think that if women held men to a standard, men would rise to that standard. I think that men will do almost anything for the opportunity to have sex.
Yeah.
And I really on what Chris Williamson calls good boy points, which is not even just sex, like just to have the affection, attention, and praise of women, men will walk through fire literally. Women will walk into gunfire literally because women have this superpower over men. And it doesn't have to be, by the way, a dark power, like the dark feminine.
It doesn't
have to be that. Like it can just be that women recognize their value and worth. And that part of the self-esteem curriculum is good. I mean, I have a real problem with the current zeitgeist. Like I was watching Temptation Island the other night, and I only have one episode left. I'm just saving it. And as I'm watching, I was thinking to myself, you know, both the men and the women on this show are what happens when you have way too much of a self-esteem curriculum from way too early of an age, and you don't esteem anything other than the self.
Interesting.
Like you have a lot of self-esteem, but what else do you esteem but the self? Like what else is important to you? the broader society. Most of these people are not particularly patriotic. You know, your faith community, not really. No, they consider religion sort of like a, they all are wearing crosses and things, but like, I don't really think these are church-going people.
Yeah.
Like, so the truth is, like, they esteem themselves, and they have tremendous self-esteem to the point where it's excluding everything else because the only thing they esteem is themselves. How do you expect those people to have fulfilling relationships? They're not going to have fulfilling relationships. They're in love with themselves, and they see other people as accessories to who they are. So why wouldn't we start trying to cultivate in people a sense of, hey, like, my worth is going to, as a woman, dictate the level men rise to and how hard men have to work to get the attention and affection of women. But you guys have to unite about that.
Well, like you say, there's always going to be one because who crosses the picket line,
right,
and then it all falls apart.
Of course, because women are hyper-competitive with other women, period, end of story. Like, go out and read some of the behavioral research on competition among women. Like, the advice that women will give to other women versus the advice they will follow themselves are completely different. Like, in terms of, like, they've actually done studies about women encouraging another woman to cut her hair very short, and how many women will praise another woman when she's considering getting a short haircut or encourage her to get a short haircut, knowing full well, again, behavioral mental health literature says men like as sexual potential partners, long hair on women. We like dresses and we like long hair. We like indicators of heterosexual beauty. That's what we're looking for in women. That's not shocking. Like, women like large muscles, you'd be surprised to hear. Like, this is very basic, you know, primal drives. And women generally will encourage other women to do things that would devalue them in the sexual marketplace in which they are competing with them.
Grimy.
Now, that is absolutely not surprising to anyone who's like, women know how brutal women can be to other women, right? Not often, not to their face, but they are brutal to other women. Men have a tendency to be a lot more forgiving of each other. They don't carry grudges quite as long. Again, this is a ton of behavioral mental health literature that's much smarter people than me that have written all about this. But this is just an example of one of those things that, you know, we've really convinced, like, that hookup culture is good. Dating apps are good. They're not. They're not good for women. They don't create a romantic marketplace or a dating marketplace that is advantaged towards women and what it is they're actually looking for in the long term. And they don't challenge men at all to become better men that are going to be better partners for what it is that those women want.
And what you see is these women go on the internet and preach a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
And it's a lot of rules for thee, not for me. And the best example is this influencer, MJ Gray, who built her entire brand. Matt, if you can actually play the second link there. Her entire brand was don't get married. Marriage is a form of manipulation. I don't need men.
So bad for my business.
Let's see that compilation there, and then we can...
I'm engaged. I'm the same person who made several videos saying that I never had any plans to get married.
Never wanted to be anybody's girlfriend, and now you're somebody's wife.
I don't like being in relationships. Why would I want to get married? Marriage is work. Having children is work. Divorce is work. And it's not what I want with my life.
I feel like you shouldn't get married. I really wish women would stop getting married.
And now, lo and behold, guess what this girl did? She turned right around and announced her engagement. And so now...
She'd like you all to be happy for her.
Now influencers are reacting to that. And this, I thought, was very poignant.
Oh, Nicole.
Okay, let's get into it.
I love
Two
Nicole.
Years ago, I met a female content creator who was very confidently telling women she would never get married, she didn't trust men, that marriage was basically slavery, and other women shouldn't do it either. A few days ago, she got engaged. And in the comments, you could see that many of her followers felt betrayed. But there's actually a very big lesson in here that you need to learn. Many of you are getting rage baited into hating the opposite sex by people who have no business giving you advice and would change their tune in a second if they found the right person.
Oof.
And that's how you end up taking life advice that takes you down the wrong path.
Preach, Nicole.
Real life advice about relationships, about how to see the opposite sex, how much you trust, how open or closed you are to love, from people who are figuring it out just like you, confused just like you. They're just doing it on camera with some feminist buzzwords and a monetization strategy.
Woo!
What works for one person will not always work for you. What resonates emotionally is not always the same as what's true. And someone being loud and confident doesn't mean they have any business telling you how to live.
Oof. You could apply that to everything, man.
I have to tell you, I love Nicole. I'm so impressed with this. I was so impressed with this. Yeah, I mean, she actually goes on in that clip to say how, like, Cody Sanchez, some of, like, the most successful female content creators out there are married, happily married, like, and they're in relationships to say, like, but what she really hit on in that video, I really like Nicole. I think she's got a great perspective on a lot of things. One of the things she hit on so perfectly there is the level of confidence with which people
say things.
Like, loud and confident is not the same as right. And that is the problem with modern social media right now, is the number of people that are getting up there and saying, well, listen, that statistic is absolutely wrong. And they're just doing it loud and confident. And they're doing it with, like, a false credential. Listen, I'm a certified divorce coach. What does that even mean? Like, you had a certified? Certified means you have a certificate, which means you just have a printer. That's all that tells me, that you have a printer. You can get a printer delivered right now in 4 hours using Amazon Prime, and then you could be as certified in as many fucking things as you want to be. So don't tell me you're certified. I'm certified in. Like, what have you been doing for the last 20 years? A lot of them were in gestation 20 years ago because they're children telling you what you should be doing in your marriage as if they've ever been married. Like, it's absolutely preposterous. But she's totally right that this level of confidence, this person was not following their own advice. They're just shooting from the hip. They're getting on the internet and just saying, oh yeah, I'm sick of, and again, marriage is bad, marriage is antiquated. What are you really saying? I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated by dating right now. Okay, why don't you just say that? Maybe we could all join in together if we said that. All these men that are up there saying, like, you know, women are impossible to figure out. Why don't you just say, I'm frustrated? I find women frustrating right now. I don't know why I don't know what I'm getting wrong. If there's a right way to do it, it's eluded me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do anymore. Why don't we say that instead of this overconfident, overly specific, I've figured it all out and seen the Matrix and now I know what the truth is, when really just in that moment, that's what you were thinking. In that moment, that was your theory. Like, I find the older that I get, the more questions I have and the fewer certainties I have. And I think that overconfidence, like, I joke all the time that, like, I miss my 20s where I still knew everything because I was certain I knew everything. I'd figured the whole thing out. And then as you get older, you start to realize, like, the varieties of human experience and human emotional complexity and how these things are just very nuanced. A lot of things are really nuanced and multivariate and how they change. So I have tremendous respect for Nicole for having the, because look, she took a lot of flack for saying this. I mean, she took a lot of flack for, because it's like anytime, again, it's like the enemy is in the house. You know, if a man says something about issues with the manosphere, if a woman says something about issues with feminism, they could beat up for it. But a lot of the voices right now, I have some hope for the future because I see someone like Nicole, I see Cody, I see Danielle Robe, whose show I was on, Question Everything. Like, she just had on a number of, like, you know, gender scholars talking about different things. Like, Danielle really makes a point of, like, bringing on challenging ideas about men and about women. But she's a woman who's supportive of other women, but who also isn't afraid to question, like, the quality of information being thrown at women and being thrown out by women and that women are relying on. Like, it's really, really, you have to worry more about, like, the monsters in your own party than you do the other side. Like, if, you know, if men are giving men bad information, like, that's a very dangerous thing. So I think we need to, like, police ourselves as a group a little bit better and vice versa.
Yeah, it's a double whammy because you have all of the frenzy of gender wars mixed with the internet grift.
Yeah.
Because, like, the bottom line, if you are on the internet and you have a show, you are an entertainer you're saying things to make money.
Yeah, and this is also, know? Like, this woman who you know, was so anti-marriage until she found someone and is now getting married. It's a very attractive woman. Like, she, you know, again, this is all advertising. Like, there's a reason why, like, compelling-looking people are in advertising. They want to catch your attention and keep your attention. So a lot of these things, they're also tied into very traditional, you know, portrayals of beauty. They're tied very into aspirational culture. Like, oh, I want to be someone who's that good looking and that confident, but also just doesn't give a shit about what people think of me. I don't know a lot of people that have Botox that don't give a shit what people think about mm-hmm. them. Like, to some degree, like, Botox is something you do for other people's perception of you, not just for, like, an orthopedic mattress is something you do for yourself. Whereas that's something you do for the performative self. Like, oh, I feel more confident. Why? Take it to the next step. I feel more confident because of the way other people will perceive me. Like, it's not just your self-esteem born of the self and for the self. It's my self-esteem based on what other people think of how I look. True self-esteem when it comes to your looks would be, I don't really care what other people think of how I look, which again, good on you if you've managed to figure that out. Very few people don't care what anybody else thinks of them looks-wise. You know, intellectually, some people would be like, yeah, I don't really care what anybody thinks of my beliefs. But looks-wise, most people want to be attractive to other people.
So let's wrap on this.
Like, rap on this? Because like, I could skip bars like, if necessary.
Well, we've seen the Manosphere was born out of, like, frustration mm-hmm. and a community that just wanted to be heard. And then it kind of got, you know, out of control and bastardized a little bit. So mm-hmm. women are apparently on the verge of going down this road as well.
Good
so,
luck.
Yeah, I mean, what words, if you're a female out there who feels, like, compelled to join the quote-unquote Femosphere or something, what kind of advice would you offer, like, before you go down that road?
I mean, I think we can learn a lot from the extremes. If nothing else, we learn what we don't want to be. Like, I think that even the most extreme forms of the Manosphere, the most extreme forms of now what you want to call the Femosphere, I think there's a lot to learn from them. If nothing else, like, okay, that's not what I want. That's not the direction I want to take. This doesn't comport with my lived experience. This doesn't, you know, my head, my heart, and my gut, you know, all have different things to say about these messages. And so what is resonating in you about this? Is it your sense of frustration? Okay, then focus on what that is. It's the sense of frustration. Like, I'm a big fan in all things of what's the thing under the thing. Like, it's not the thing, it's the thing under the thing. You know, this person makes me feel good. Okay, what does this person make you feel? Well, they make me feel calm and confident. Great. Why are you feeling disquieted and not confident? Let's start looking at that. Like, what is it you don't want to feel? What is it you're afraid to feel? What is it you're moving towards trying to feel? Like, these are good questions. And I think sometimes, you know, to use a metaphor, because those tend to be the better way to go with these sorts of things. I have a friend who's a sommelier. And he once said to me, it's really hard to figure out what wine goes well with something. Because when a wine goes well with something, you don't notice. It's just complimentary. It's just lovely. Your experience is a lovely experience. He's like, so the best way to learn about wine is to drink the wrong wine with a food. Because you'll see the contrast. So he was like, have sushi and drink a big, bold Cabernet with it. And you'll see you don't even taste the sushi and it overwhelms the flavor. Or have a big ribeye steak and then have a very light, you know, Pinot Gris or a Chardonnay. And you'll see that the steak overwhelms the wine. The acidity of that wine isn't sufficient to cut through. That there's not enough tannins. It's just missing a lot of things. When you have a taste of the wrong thing, that's gets you a little closer to the right thing. So I'm not against this kind of buffoonery on either side, because whatever makes people watch and go, oh yeah, not that.
That's
like,
enough.
I can't co-sign with that. Sorry. That is a good indicator. Okay, where are my morals? Where does my lived experience land me? And then if you can be a little bold and go, okay, what about that gives me the ick? And what about this resonates with me? What's going on in there? Those are questions worth asking. So I think everybody contributes to the dialogue here, but I would just hate to see us devolve into more partisan boys versus girls crap, because I just don't think the world needs any more of it. And I don't think it's heading any of us in a direction where we're getting increasingly satisfied. Look, we've had a run on this thing now. It's been a couple of years. You feeling better? Things going well? Your dating life better? Your relationship with the opposite sex better? If the answer is no, you know, if you're driving down the road and you realize I'm completely fucking lost, don't step on the gas. Mm-hmm. Like, don't step on, stop. Try to figure out where you are. Get your bearings. Okay, the GPS isn't working. All right, see if you have a map. You don't have a map. Okay, try to retrace your steps. Like, but don't floor it and step on the gas knowing you're going in the wrong direction. You're just going to make it harder for you to find your way home. So I would just say, I think we've had enough time now. Look at your lived experience. How are you feeling? Does the culture seem better to you? Do your friends seem happier? Are they finding more fulfilling relationships? Or are they as more angry than ever? More disillusioned, dissatisfied than ever? Okay, that's being done to you. and you're letting it be done to you. They're rage baiting you left and right. Don't let them do it. Don't let these people, don't let an algorithm force you by trying to colonize your attention. Don't let it manipulate your perception of what's going on in the world. Ultimately, we're looking for love. All of us are looking for love and connection, to feel loved and to find someone who brings us real fulfillment. We're not going to find that if we're so distracted by these stupid red herrings the algorithm keeps throwing at all of us.